Some of you might have noticed this, or you've studied it in your Bible studies, that the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke have many similarities. We understand that Mark was the earliest of the Gospels, and that perhaps Luke and Matthew had Mark's Gospel in front of them as they were writing their accounts. And as you read through the Gospels, you'll see many similar stories, but the way in which the evangelists arrange them are different, except when it comes to the story of the calling of St. Matthew. For in each of the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the story that precedes the call of Matthew is Jesus healing the paralytic. You'll remember that story perhaps from Mark chapter 2. Mark has more details of that story than any of the other evangelists, to the point that those friends of the paralytic go up onto the roof, they open a hole in the roof so that the guy can go down and be in front of Jesus. So I pondered this and I thought, why is it that in this case, before the call of Matthew, each of the evangelists has the story of the healing of the paralytic? Now, when I get to heaven, Matthew might say, or the gospel writers might say, or Peter might say, you didn't get that right at all. But this is my speculative guess. What was wrong with the paralytic? He had a physical paralysis that constricted him, that made it impossible for him to fully live the life he was meant to live. Matthew wasn't physically paralyzed, but he was spiritually paralyzed because of the sin, the capital sin, the deadly sin of avarice. Do you know what avarice is? An inordinate love for stuff, particularly money. And this is something that was paralyzing the life of St. Matthew. I've been privileged to go to Rome twice, in 2014 and again in the summer of 2017. And in Rome is a church called San Luigi De Francesi. If you're Italian and I got that really wrong, I'm sorry. In English, that means St. Louis of the French. And in this beautiful church, there is this one chapel that has three paintings by the Italian artist Caravaggio. And all three of these paintings deal with the life of St. Matthew. The one we're going to look at in a minute is called The Call of St. Matthew. The second one is the inspiration of St. Matthew, with St. Matthew writing his gospel. And the third painting is the martyrdom of St. Matthew. This is one of my most favorite paintings in the world. I have a reproduction of it in my study at home, and it's something that I look at often as I think about the call of Jesus in our lives. If you look at the scene carefully, and you look to the far left-hand side of the painting, you'll notice that it is dark. But the farther you go to the right, you'll notice that all of the light is emanating from Jesus Christ. And you'll notice as well that as his hand is pointing out where his hand is below, it's below the window. And of course, Caravaggio has been very clear to make the cross stand out in the window. Now, where is Matthew in this painting? Matthew is the guy who's looking at Jesus with one hand on himself, but with the other hand, he's holding on to his money, right? You're calling me? But that means I've got to let go of the money. Here's the other thing that's amazing about this painting. Jesus and Peter, who is standing next to him, are dressed in the garb of the first century. Matthew and the buddies at the table are dressed like 16th century Italians. The point being, of course, that Jesus is always wanting to break into the contemporary world where we are living. Now, when you look at the painting, look at the guys on the far side. The young guy, he isn't even aware of Jesus. He is so focused on the money, that is all he can see. And then there's the older man next to him. He's not looking at Jesus either, but you wonder, which way is his head going? Is he going down or is he going up? We're not sure. And then we have Matthew and the lad, the youngest person in the painting. And they are looking to Jesus. And here we see Matthew convicted that Jesus is speaking to him. And on this day, just as the man who had had the physical paralysis at the word of Jesus stood up and walked, so too St. Matthew, who suffered from a spiritual paralysis in seeing the light of Christ, will let go of his money and stand up and walk. What is Caravaggio wanting us to see in this painting? A couple of things. All resistance to grace hardens the heart. And that's what we see most particularly with the person who's just focused on the table and on the money. His heart is hardened to Jesus Christ. But when we look at Matthew and the lad next to him, what are they doing? They are responding to grace. Now look at the person who's sitting on the bench in a straddled position. What does it look like he's doing? He kind of looks like he's daydreaming, kind of indifferent to Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is here, but who cares? And I would like to suggest to you that these are three ways in which people continue to respond to grace. Either they're hardened hearts, they have indifferent hearts, or they have responding hearts. Hardened, indifferent, or responding. St. Augustine, when reflecting on this gospel passage, succinctly spoke of its urgency when he said the following: we should respond to God's gift as Jesus is passing close by, because I fear that Jesus may pass by and not come back again. He may pass by and not come back again. In a world like this, there are so many hardened to grace, and I would say more and more, the vast majority of Canadians are indifferent to grace. But not you. Not me, not us. We are those who want to see Jesus pointing, and we are looking up and letting go of whatever it is we need to so we can respond to his call. Christ, the great physician, who wants to heal us of all of our paralyses so that we can come to his table where it's not us throwing a feast for him, as Matthew did, but Jesus throwing a feast for us. And it's our desire at St. Peter's that more and more people who today might be hardened to grace or indifferent to grace will be open to grace and join with us and St. Matthew at the banquet that is eternal. St. Matthew, pray for us.